Well, hello, everybody. It's so wonderful to be with you once again. This is Minister Vanessa Williams Van with His Abounding Grace, a part of When Christians Speak Talk Radio. We are just so happy and excited to share just a few words. It won't be long tonight. Titled, A Prayer Model for All Times. A Prayer Model for All Times. And this is based on Matthew's, the sixth chapter. But let's go ahead and pray to God, and then we'll get right into the Word. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you, Father, because of who you are. We thank you, Lord God, because you're so wonderful to us. We thank you, Father, because you're so loving, Lord God. God, we just praise your name right now. We give you the honor, glory, and praise because of who you are. Father, we just thank you, Lord God. Now, Lord God, I ask that as this message goes out, Lord God, that it will be received, Lord God, well, that the hearts would be open, the minds be open to hear clearly what it is that you would have them to hear, and that they would not just be hearers, but they'll go forth and do what they need to do. Lord, I thank you for this ministry, May Christians Speak Talk Radio. We thank you, Lord God, for allowing us to be a tool that you can use to get the message out to your people, Father. Lord God, we thank you right now and give you all the honor, glory, and praise because you're worthy to be praised. In Jesus' name, thank God. Amen. Amen. All right, well, a prayer model for all times. Let me start off by saying that we're talking about the Lord's Prayer, but remember, Jesus never prayed this himself. Jesus gave this prayer to his disciples as a model after which they could pattern their own prayers. So this is called a prayer model for all times, the Lord's Prayer. Before we get right into Matthew 6 chapter, I want to just set some foundation here. Have you ever heard someone, or have you ever said yourself, since our Heavenly Father knows everything, which includes knowing the things we have need of even before we ask him, why should I pray at all? Perhaps you've heard someone else say, what's the use of praying? Whatever's going to happen will happen anyway. Well, we pray because God instructed us to do so. Yes, of course he knows all about us. He knows what we have need of before we pray. But simply put, we pray in obedience to God. Why go to God in prayer? Because the word of God tells us that that's what we should do. In Luke, the 18th chapter, in the first verse, Jesus spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not faint. And it is a good example of Jesus' desire for us to pray continually. Luke 18th chapter, the 2nd through the 5th verse says, there was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city. And this widow came to him saying, avenge me of my adversary. And he would not for a while. But afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet, because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she wearies me. Jesus continued in verses 6 and 7 to say, hear what the unjust judge said. And 7th verse, and shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry out day and night, though he bear long with them? And then Jeremiah 29:12 lets us know that you shall call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. Excuse me. There are so many scriptures in the Bible that tells us that we need to pray. And we'll go through some of these, but there are so many scriptures in the Bible. So we pray as an act of obedience to God. We pray not just asking God for something, but we pray because we want to be in communion with him. We want to hear his voice. We want to get directions from him. We want to be listened. We don't want to listen and hear what he has to say to us as well. Because prayer is not just going to God asking for something, but prayer is talking to our Heavenly Father. Okay? So now, let's go to Matthew, the 6th chapter. I'm going to start off with the King James Version. I'm going to read it first, and then I'll read the Living Bible paraphrase of it. And then we'll try to dissect each part of the what we call the Lord's Prayer, okay? So Matthew, the 6th chapter, the 9th verse, Jesus says to his disciples, After this manner, therefore pray ye, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And the 13th verse says, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory. Amen. Now I want to read it through the Living Bible paraphrase. And we're going to take our time and just dissect this. I'm trying to explain to you or trying to describe to you each part of this petition, this prayer petition, and what it means, okay? So the 9th verse, Jesus says in the Living Bible, pray along these lines. Our Father in heaven, we honor your holy name. So before you should always begin your prayer by honoring God because of who he is. Not using any fancy words, no lengthy opening remarks or deep thought-provoking closing arguments. Just a talk between your Father and you. You see, when you fully recognize that prayer involves having a personal relationship with God the Father through his Son, Jesus Christ, and that he is your everything, he's not just somewhere very far away somewhere. You'll go to God in prayer just as a child goes to a parent, asking and believing that that parent has his best interest at heart. You'll ask and believe that God has your best interest at heart. Excuse me. Our Father, Abba Father. This addresses God in a personal, intimate way. Abba is a form of Ab, A-B, meaning Father in many Semitic languages. It is used as a given name, but was also used as a title or honorary name for religious scholars or leaders. The word abbot has the same root. So when we're talking about our Father God, we should give him all the respect and honor that is due him, Abba Father. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Psalms 34:1. Always, always, always begin your prayer by praising him and thanking him for who he is. This delights our Father, you see. I call this seeking the face of God, not seeking the hand of God. Focus on praise, creating an atmosphere of praise for him. Praise is bringing an offering or offering up a sacrifice unto God, a sacrifice of praise. Think about this. God, who has everything, has provided so many free gifts to us. So we need to ask ourselves this question. What can I give God who has everything? How about a sacrifice of praise? Doesn't his word tell us that he inhabits the praises of his people? So begin your prayer by honoring him, praising him, Abba Father. How many know that offering up praises is pleasing to our Father? And how many know that something happens in the spiritual world when you praise him? How many know that miracles will become evident in the physical world when you praise and worship God truly from your heart? Creating an atmosphere of praise for the Lord, for God truly inhabits the praises of his people. I believe when we get a hold of this scripture and what he's really telling us here, you'll catch on to something awesome, something that words really cannot describe. Praise God. Begin by praising him. How can you praise a God if you don't know him? If you don't truly know who God is, it may be foreign to you to praise a God that you believe is way up there, far out of reach, instead of a God who is always near and in your heart. So you need to get to know him. And how do you get to know him? By studying his word, by talking to him, studying his word. Okay, back to the Lord's Prayer. Hallowed be thy name. Hallowed be thy name. The word hallowed be the name means God's name is holy and special. Even though God wants us to call him our Father, he is still God, and he is to be respected and honored. God's name is holy. God's name means holy. Do you truly know him, the sovereignty of God? Do you know who it is that you're praying to? He is holy. The word of God tells us in Peter 1:16, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. God is a spirit, and he that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. John, the 4:24. God is our creator. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that has made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. God is our creator. Psalms 100 chapter 1st to the 3rd verse. Proverbs 15th chapter in the 3rd verse lets us know that God is omnipresent. That means he's always present everywhere at the same time, all the time. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. Luke 1st chapter 37th verse lets us know that God is omnipotent, meaning he's all powerful. He has complete power, unlimited power, all power. For with God nothing shall be impossible. Psalm 61 chapter lets us know that he's our rock. Hear my cry, O Lord, O God, unto my prayer. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to a rock that is higher than I. I want you to think about that for a minute. A rock higher than anything here on this world. Amen. He's always near. The Lord is nigh to all them that call upon him, to all that call upon him in truth. He was fulfilled the desire of them that fear him. He will hear their cry, and he will save them. Psalms 145, 18th chapter and 19th. Psalms 145, 18th and 19th verse. And here for a moment, I want to go over to Exodus. Exodus in the Old Testament, 3rd chapter, the 4th through the 6th verse. Moses here. And one day, the 3rd chapter says, one day as Moses was tending the flock of his father-in-law Jethro, the priest of Midian, out at the edge of the desert near Horeb, the mountain of God, suddenly the angel of Jehovah appeared to him as a flame of fire in a bush. When Moses saw that the bush was on fire and that it didn't burn up, he went over to investigate. Then God, the Almighty God, called out to Moses. Moses, Moses, who is it? Moses asked. Don't come any closer, God told him. Take off your shoes, for you are standing on holy ground. I am the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Moses covered his face with his hands, for he was afraid to look at God. God is holy. God is holy. Exodus 3rd chapter, 13 to 14 verse lets us know that Moses said unto God, behold, when I come unto the children of Israel and shall say unto them, the God of your fathers has sent me unto you, and they shall say to me, what is his name? What shall I say unto them? And the 14th verse, and God said unto Moses, I am that I am. I am that I am. And he said, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am has sent me unto you. Psalms 136 and 2 lets us know God is the God of all gods. So give thanks to the God of gods, for his loving kindness continues forever. Back to the Lord's Prayer. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth, or rather in earth, as it is in heaven. Thy kingdom come. This part of the prayer says, let God's kingdom come, and let God's will be done on earth, both just like it is in heaven. Now you see, you've already created an atmosphere of praise by acknowledging just who God is. You've created an atmosphere of praise, and then something awesome happens. You were freely moved into a state of, not my will, but thy will be done. And this is the confidence that we have in him. 1 John 5, 14 14 and 15 says that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if he knows, and if we know that he hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petition that we desired of him. Now the Lord's Prayer continues with, give us this day our daily bread. Give us this day our daily bread. After you've created an atmosphere of praise by acknowledging who he is, how holy God is, and you're seeking his will, let him know that you realize, that you recognize that his will must be done. So your prayer begins with, your prayer is really not my will, but thy will be done. Then you ask him. Then you can petition him. You ask him to give us this day our daily bread. Give me this day, Lord, my daily bread. And you come boldly, you can go boldly unto the throne of grace that you may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Like Hebrews, the 4th chapter, the 16th verse says. So, you know, see here in Matthew, the 6th chapter, 11th verse, give us this day our daily bread. It's the 11th verse of the 6th chapter of the Gospel of Matthew in the New Testament. And it forms part of the Sermon on the Mount. This brief verse, give us this day our daily bread, contains the 4th petition to God. Philippians 4th chapter 19th verse says, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in Christ Jesus. Amen. Philippians 4, 6 and 7 says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. The 6th verse says, don't worry about anything, in the Living Bible paraphrase. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God your needs. And don't forget to thank him for his answers. The Lord's Prayer continues with, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Boy, we could talk a whole hour just on forgiveness alone. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. You see, the power of prayer can only be manifested in its fullness when we go to God with a pure heart, holding no unforgiveness towards anybody or anything, having no selfish motive. Matthew 6 chapter 14 through the 16th verse lets us know that if ye forgive men their trespasses, this is what Jesus says, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. Get this. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive you your trespasses. So we should continue to ask God to search our hearts, like Psalm 139, 23 and 24 says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin, and then will I heal the land. What a powerful prayer. What a powerful petition. The Lord's Prayer continues with, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Now, this is a really interesting part of the prayer. And I had to do further study on this because I got a little confused when this says, lead us not into temptation. But then I went to a Believer's Bible Commentary. And it says, this request may appear to contradict James 1:13. James 1:13 states that God never tempts anyone. However, God does allow his people to be tested and tried. This petition expresses a healthy distrust of your own ability to resist temptations or to stand up under trial. It acknowledges complete dependence on the Lord for preservation. Lead me not into temptation, Lord, but deliver me from evil. You know, over in 1 Corinthians, the 10th chapter and 13th verse, remember this. The wrong desires that come into your life isn't anything new or different. Many others have faced exactly the same problems before you. This is the Living Bible paraphrase. And no temptation is irresistible. You can trust God to keep the temptation from becoming so strong that you can't stand up against it. For he has promised this and will do what he says. He will show you how to escape temptation's power so that you can bear up patiently against it. I think that's awesome. Matthew 26 chapter and 41st verse says, keep alert and pray, otherwise temptation will overpower you. For the spirit indeed is willing, but how weak the body is. You know, Jesus was speaking, and you know, Jesus knew something about temptation, because when he was up in the wilderness, Satan tempted tempted Jesus, but to no avail. Jesus always responded with the word of God, and that's what we should do. When negative thoughts come to us, we should respond by repeating God's word back, by repeating God's word, which is positive. So this is why we need to pray and ask God's help in this area. You see, Jesus knew about being tempted, because when he was tempted by the devil while he was in the wilderness, but Jesus resisted this temptation again by quoting the word of God. What an awesome example for us to follow. Because we are in a constant battle against sin and the devil, we need to rely on the Holy Spirit to help us resist temptation and overcome sin in our lives. When we ask God to deliver us from evil, we are saying that we recognize that we don't have the power on our own to do so. We acknowledge that we cannot do nothing without God's help. So we should seek God's help to overcome temptation and sin. The Lord's Prayer continues with and ends with, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. So finally, we acknowledge his kingdom, his power, and his glory. His kingdom, his power, and his glory. The Lord's Prayer, there it is. After this manner, therefore pray ye, our Father, which is in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever and ever. Amen. Amen. You see, prayer changes things. Prayer changes things. And Satan knows that. That's why Satan tries his best to bring about as many distractions as possible. He'll do whatever he can do to keep us from praying, to keep us from having an effective prayer life. For Satan knows that if he can keep us in bondage with our minds confused and focused on things not of God, he can rob us of one of God's greatest gifts, the gift of peace. Peace that surpasses all understanding. Peace that surpasses all understanding. There are so many prayer scriptures. I'll leave you with some. 1 John 5:14. 1 John 5:14. This is the confidence we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. According to his will, he hears us. Mark the 11th chapter. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire, when ye pray, believe that you receive them, and ye shall have them. Mark 11:24-25-26. And Luke, powerful, powerful, all of these. 1 chapter, 37th verse. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. You see, when you obey the word of God, you will obtain victory through the power of prayer. What an awesome prayer model for all times, the Lord's Prayer. Again, we call it the Lord's Prayer, a prayer model for all times. When your prayers line up with the word of God, you will never, never underestimate the power of prayer. Allow the word of God to be the foundation for your prayer life and fellowship with God. The power of prayer will surpass anything you've ever imagined. How many believe that God does honor his word, that he does stand by his word? We pray because we want to communicate with him, not just ask for stuff, but seek his face and praise him for who he is. So hopefully this brief message has been encouraging to you. I call this a prayer for all models because Jesus gave this prayer to his disciples and told them to pray like this. And when you break this prayer down, you'll see it fulfills everything and all aspects of what we should do, how we should seek him and how we should acknowledge him because of who he is, how we should give honor to him because of who he is, how we praise him and worship him, how we should create that atmosphere of praise. And then when we've created the atmosphere of praise, we pray, not my will, but thy will be done. And then we move into the area where we petition God, asking him for something, but only after we have created that atmosphere of praise by acknowledging who he is, by worshiping him for because of who he is. A prayer model for all times. Now, before I leave you, I want to ask you something. Do you know anything about what I've been talking about? If you haven't yet accepted him as your savior, you might not even understand any of what I've just said. But get this, it's not too late. If you are hearing this message, it's not too late. Right now, Jesus stands ready with open arms to welcome you home. If you're not saved, if you're not repented of your sins and accepted Jesus into your heart, if you are not 100% sure you will spend eternity in heaven, listen very closely. Nobody else can save you. Just trust Jesus today. There is only one way to God, and that's through his son, Jesus Christ. For John 14th chapter in the 6th verse, Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Acts 4th chapter and 12th verse says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. So I'll ask you, are you saved? Are you born again? Have you made the confession that Jesus Christ is Lord? For Romans 10:9 says that if thou shalt confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thy heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. It's so simple. This prayer of salvation is so simple. Romans 3:10 says, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not me, no, not one. We need to be willing to turn from sin. That's called repenting. You need to believe that Jesus Christ died for you, that Jesus was buried and rose from the dead. You need to believe that Jesus is God's son, that God sent his son Jesus Christ to die for you. Romans 10:10 says, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Now, right now, right here, wherever you are, through prayer, you can invite Jesus to come into your life to become your personal savior. For Romans 10:13 says, for whosoever, I thank God I'm a whosoever, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So if you're sincere and you want to be saved, you want to be born again, just repeat this prayer after me right now. Dear God, I am a sinner and I need forgiveness. I believe that Jesus Christ shed his precious blood and died for my sin. I am willing to turn from sin. I now invite Christ to come into my heart and into my life as my personal savior. Amen. See how simple that is? If you did it truly from your heart, if you trusted Jesus as your personal Savior, guess what? You've just begun a wonderful new life in him. Wonderful new life in him. Get a good Bible and read your Bible every day to get to know Jesus better. Talk to him every day in prayer. Talk to him. Amen. And then, don't forget to share this good news with somebody else. Don't forget to let somebody else know that Jesus loves them, that Jesus cares. Don't forget, don't be selfish with this. Share this good news with somebody else. Amen. Amen. Let us end this by praying. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord God. I thank you, Father, that your word has gone forth. And Lord, as your word said that it's gone forth, I don't believe it's come back to you empty-handed, Father. I believe it's gone out in the purpose in which you have had it to be go out, Lord, and that it will encourage someone, Lord God, prepare someone, Lord God, and encourage someone to keep on keeping on, Father. Lord, I thank you for your word. I thank you, Lord God, for being so wonderful, Lord God. I thank you, Lord God, for using me as your vessel, Lord, too, Lord God. I thank you and I praise your name because of who you are. I thank you, Lord God. Your will be done, not our will, but your will be done. In Jesus' name we pray. Thank God. Thank God. Thank God. Thank God. Amen. All right, my friend, until the next time, go trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. Remember who he is. That's the good news. Remember who he is. Amen. Amen and amen.